Amen, amen, amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord some praise. Amen. Glory to God. You can open up your Bibles to the book of John, the fourth chapter. That's a good choice. Show me your face. I want to see you. I want to see your glory. I want to live in the secret place. Show as you are, that we might come to you. Amen. your decision. But in making that decision, we have to make sure we make the right decision. Because it's easier making the wrong decision than the right decision. And as we look at what Jesus is doing, he's going to read here from the verses. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did. Mm-hmm. Wow. See, it's so important that we listen to it and understand that what the word is saying, instead of interfering with the gospel and misinterpreting the gospel, because there are things that we have added to this part of the gospel that aren't there. And when you add things to the gospel, you change the strength and the identity of that gospel. And if you begin to change the strength and the identity of the gospel, then you're going to be people that aren't going to be getting the truth.
Amen.
And God wants us to have the truth. So here they are, and he must needs to go through Samaria. Then cometh he into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Mm-hmm. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary, listen to this closely. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about noon. Mm-hmm. What is so important about Jesus at the part where he becomes weary and needs to have a seat? Well, remember, the Bible says we have not a high priest who was tempted in all things as like we are, but yet he did it without sin. What he's showing here is his humanity.
Come on now.
It's important that we see the humanity of Christ so that we can understand the supernatural part of Christ.
Amen.
So he's sitting here and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am I, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Another thing. He did not tell her he was a Jew. So it had to be something about him that gave her the idea that he was a Jew. I was after him. There's something about you that let people know that you're a child of God.
Amen.
If there isn't, you need to check yourself.
Amen. My Lord.
So all of a sudden she knew that he was a Jew without him telling her she was a Jew. Jesus answered unto her and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith these things, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Now she knows he's a Jew, but sometimes you have to go deeper and make the right decision. At this time in her life, she's not making good, sound decisions. But don't worry, he's going to help her. Let's do verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, with whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again.
Come on now.
Be thirsty again.
Come on now.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well or of water springing up into everlasting life. When you look at the word well of water, it's talking about source or supply. When you look at the word everlasting, it's talking about something that is perpetual. Means it never stops operating. It never stops healing. It never stops delivering. It never stops encouraging.
Yeah.
It just keeps going and going and going. Yeah. Just like a little Everett Valley.
Yeah.
Little rabbit.
Come on now.
That's what the word will do for our lives. But see, we have to make the right decision.
Amen. Amen.
have to make the right decision in order for that word that we're studying, that word that we're reading, to do what it's got to do in our lives. Nobody's perfect.
Amen.
I tell them all the time, if you know somebody that's perfect, bring them to me.
Amen.
Because they got something I need to know.
Amen.
I'm always willing to learn.
Amen.
But there ain't nobody like that. There are a few people that think they are.
Come on now.
Amen. There are a few people think they are, but that's okay. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give, da 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 da. And then it goes on to say, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. What did she just do? She went from being a knothead to being a decision maker.
Come on now.
She just made one of the most important decisions of her life. Let me get some of your water. There's decisions, Lorraine, we have to make in our lives where we have to say, you know what? I'm going through this, but I'm going to praise Him anyway.
Come on now.
I got trouble on every hand, but I'm, you know what? I think I'm going to give Him the praise anyway.
Amen.
I mean, my body is racked with pain, but it can't stop me from praising Him.
Amen.
Those are decisions that we make to honor God and to show forth the glory of God.
Amen.
And see, don't nobody know what you're going through. They don't know what your experiences are. They don't know how bad you hurt. They don't know how bad you're troubled. They don't know how bad you're despondent. But you do.
Yeah.
You and God do. And God understands that if you offer Him a sacrifice, now you're sacrificing because you don't want to, you don't feel like doing it.
Right.
All you want to do is get right.
Come on.
You want God to just come heal your body, fix your finances, do what He needs to do so that you can have what you need. But God is sitting there waiting on you to do what?
Give him praise.
Tell Him how great He is. Tell Him how wonderful He is.
Yeah.
And you know what the Bible says? The Bible backs itself up because it tells us that He will inhabit
the
praise. And when He inhabits that praise, guess what He's bringing with Him? Healing.
Deliverance.
See, He bring everything with Him. I got a better one for you. Listen to this. Got a better one for you. When you praise God, what God does is send the signal to the Son of God that's already living in you to start working from within you. That's why we have a high priest.
Amen.
Glory to God. So she made the right decision.
Amen.
She could have said, you know what? Look here, bro. I'm going to keep drinking this water because it quenches my thirst.
Come on.
But she recognized that if she drank the water, see, when He told her about the water, she had to believe in what He was telling her about the water in order for her to do what? Make the decision, I'd rather have your water than this water.
Right.
So there are decisions we have to make in our lives so that we can have the good water and not the bad water. Say, for instance, the water in the city that we drink comes from the tap. Well, we stopped drinking that, and now we drink bottled water.
Yeah.
You know, we drink bottled water all the time. And what do we get out of the bottled water? There's nothing in it. There's absolutely nothing in bottled water. But if you drink some of that tap water every now and then, you're going to get a little lead, a little sodium, whatever they clean it with. Folks say, that's bad for you though, but you ain't going to get enough that's going to kill you.
Right.
Unless you're living in Flint. And they owe them people something. They owe them people something. Anytime you can't go to your faucet and get you a glass of water without worrying about being died. And see, the problem with what happened is they have now changed that whole lifestyle.
Yep.
Yeah.
You say, well, how they change the lifestyle? Now they can't get any minerals from their water unless they buy water that has minerals in it.
Right.
Have mercy.
Things, decisions people make change people's lives.
Amen.
That's why we want to try to make the right decisions. Amen. So if it's going to change somebody by mind, let it be by the renewing of the word of God.
Come on now. Come on now.
Let's go to John, the 11th chapter. Now we're going to deal with faith. You made the right decision. You create an avenue or an atmosphere for faith. 11, we're going to start with 11 and 1. I don't know, I'm reading a lot of scripture today, more than normal. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with her ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. They want you to understand by telling you this, by giving you this benediction of what is going on, how important she is to Jesus.
Yeah.
They want you to know just how important it is to Jesus. She took her own hair and wiped his feet. So I'm assuming they were close. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Isn't that Jesus? We need you.
Yeah.
Our brother's sick and we need you. But then Jesus turns around and said, well, it ain't unto death.
Right.
What are we expecting them to say? Mm-hmm. Somehow or another, they have forgotten about the other miracles that he's done.
Come on now. Come on.
They've forgotten the blinded eyes. They've forgotten the deaf and ears. Why? Because it's their situation now.
Yeah.
Things change when it becomes your situation. All that wonderful advice you were giving out, it for some reason it don't pertain to you.
Wow.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Wow.
When he had heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still. Lazarus sick. And Jesus, now come on now. Jesus know he not gonna make it. He want to give him time to make sure he don't make it. If he went now, he would have lived.
Yeah.
But if I give him 2 more days, he's surely going to die. And that's what them sisters were thinking too.
Uh-huh.
He going to wait 2 more days. Lazarus surely going to die.
Uh-huh.
And I can only imagine what they was thinking. We going to cut him loose. We going to stop following him. We act like that sometimes about God.
Yeah.
We act that way. Shoot. He abode 2 more days. Amen. And Jesus was a tough dude. Go to 29th verse. Yep, I'm going to wait 2 more days.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 11 to 29. Okay. Everybody know we're still in John, right? 11 and 29. And when she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Well, you have to kind of read between the lines. It's kind of simple to understand that the other sister was not happy about it. That's why she didn't go. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, you can listen to her style of speech, and you'll see where she's coming from. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jesus then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you'd have got here when I asked you to the first time, instead of hanging out two more days, my brother wouldn't be down there, he'd be up here. So don't you know, Jesus, you messed up. Oh my goodness. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, let me ask you, this is a question. Do you think he wept for Mary and Martha? Or was he weeping for Lazarus? He was weeping for Lazarus. He was weeping for Mary and Martha. You say, why? Because they had just cried at his feet, and they touched the compassion of his heart. He wasn't worried about Lazarus because he knew what was going to take place there. But he was concerned about Mary and Martha and all those that were with him that were weeping. The compassion of God that was in his life caused him to weep. Y'all awful quiet in here. All right, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Always got haters, baby. I don't care what you do. There's always going to be somebody around that's going to hate on the ministry that God has given you. They can be straight up, straight, right, Holy Ghost filled, everything, honest and pure, but there's just that one that's going to decide to hate on what God given you.
My Lord.
Amen. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, come to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. So he'd been dead a few days. So why are you finna waste your time, Jesus? He's stinking now. He done rotted, he stink. All you had to do was just come 2 days ago. And we wouldn't be dealing with none of this stuff. I've been there. Lord, if you had came last week, I wouldn't have had to go through what I went through. Because you could have got me out of it. Instead of me going through this a whole nother week, where were you? Knowing all the time that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he's always in us, and it was up to me to allow my faith to manifest itself so that I could see that the thing was already done. But no, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to cry, I'm going to whine, I'm going to ask Jesus where he at, and all the time he knocking on my thick skull said, I'm in here. Already here.
Amen.
All you got to do is look into your life and recognize that I've given you power.
Yeah.
If you don't use it, you can't blame me.
Come on now. Amen.
Where was I? And he's stinking. Why are you going to fool around? Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?
Amen.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by me, what he said, but because of these non-believing people, which are standing by me, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he has thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Lazarus! Come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his hand and his face was bound about with a napkin. Just Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Sometimes you are going to go through things, and if you stand the test and you fight the fight of faith and you keep your confidence and your faith in God, you'll find out that whatever it is you're going through, God will use it for his glory. Yeah. Because somebody's watching your life. Yeah. Somebody's watching to see how you handle your situation. And if you handle it, come through it with victory, let me tell you something. Right. Victory is not on the other side of the problem. Come victory on. Is in the center of the problem. Yeah. Where you can still glorify God. Yeah. Jesus knew what was going on. He wept because of Martha and all those that were weeping around him. But he already knew without a shadow of a doubt that Lazarus was a living man. Because the Father was going to use him to show forth his power and his glory, and that Jesus was his son in the earth. You've got to have faith. That's why the Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. Most of us are living by what we see and not what we understand. You know why that's possible? Because I can't remember the last time you cracked open the Bible to find out for yourself. I can tell you just how great this has got to be one of the greatest miracles. Reason this is one of the greatest miracles, we went to the Holy Land and I saw where he was. He was way down. It was a spiral staircase. I think it was about 22, 24 steps. And it was spiral. And it was stone. So, you know, this stone is different from brick. Stone is slippery. It's a slippery stone. He had to, the spot that he was in, Lady Di, was so small, looked like for a kid. He had to figure out a way. Now, remember, he's wrapped up in gray clothes. So he's like going to be hopping. First he had to get to his feet. Then he had to hop up. Now it's dark. And he already can't see anyway because his face is covered. So he needs some kind of instruction from God in order to make the turns on the steps. So here he is bouncing up them stairs. One step, two step, three step. I guarantee you every step he got to made him stronger. Because he's starting to realize on every step that I'm about to live and not die. And I'm going to be able to declare the works of the Lord. So here he is coming up them steps. He hopping up those steps. All the way up the steps. When he gets his step, he gets out. Jesus said, loose him. Unwrap him. Let him go. But didn't they just say he was stinking? So what that means is every step he took coming to the top of that sepulcher, God is cleaning him up. God just like, he don't just set you free, but he cleans you up. He is gonna say, I'm gonna do this, but he sets your feet up high. That's it. A dead man with faith.
Come on now.
Had the faith to realize that he got up or he heard Jesus' voice.
Yeah.
A dead man heard Jesus' voice.
Yeah.
If I'm asleep sometimes, I can't hear your voice.
Come on now.
He's dead, but he heard Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what? Didn't leave him no choice. He couldn't do nothing but get up. He couldn't do nothing but get up and stay. He couldn't do nothing but lose that smell that was on his body. Verse 38. Well done. Let's go to Luke. I'm going to close this out. Go to the book of Luke. Now we've dealt with decision. And we've dealt with faith. Now we're going to deal with structure. Luke 22. And the 47th verse. Amen. And while he yet spake, now remember this, we in the garden, and they have come to arrest Jesus. So some things are going to jump off that's not going to be for Jesus' liking. So in the 47th verse, it says, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
Wow.
When they which were about him saw that would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote. Now, he asked, can we use the sword? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty sure Jesus told him no.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway. That's why he was so quick to deny it.
Right.
Jesus answered, let's suffer thus far. Listen to this. And the one with the smoke, the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. Amen. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed it. I'm going to read it again. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and did what?
Healed it.
We preach this, that Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on. How many have heard that preached? I've preached to myself too. I'm guilty. It's not there, but we put it there.
My Lord.
Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on.
Come on now.
But my Bible tells me, Pastor Keith, my Bible reads like this. It said Jesus touched his ear and healed him.
Amen.
In spite of everything that had been going on, disciples going to sleep on him, him having to deal with the Father about if it be thy will, let thy will be done, going through all this stuff, dealing with all this emotionalism that he's dealing with when he in the garden, and now he got to deal with an insubordinate disciple who causes a man's ear to be cut off. He still has the structure to stand on the word of God, which says, thou shalt not kill. He touches his ear. How would you think happened? And God created another ear. He didn't pick no ear up and put it back on. He didn't order one from Google. He didn't say to one of the guys, let me borrow your ear so I can put it on this man that just lost his. It says he touched his ear and it was healed.
Yeah.
All this happened in the span of what? 4 days. The word number four, it speaks of creative works.
My Lord.
What is creative work? Structure. Jesus let none of that mess evil to see. He was structured according to the word of God, and he's going to stick to the word of God. In spite of by doing it, he knew they were going to take him and kill him. A lot of folks have faith, but they don't have no structure.
Amen.
The reason I and they don't have instruction because they don't know when to do and not to do with knowledge that they have apprehended.
Come on now. Break it down, Pastor.
You have to be structured. You got to make the right decision. Then you got to hold on to the faith. And then you have to be structured. Because if you do all these things, you can't do nothing but please God. And that's all we really want to do anyway, is please God. We're not trying to please men. Because you can't please them anyway. Today they like you, tomorrow they don't.
Amen.
You give them $5 a day, they love you. You try to give them $5 tomorrow, they no longer your friend. So we have to please God.
Amen.
That's all that matters, is pleasing God.
Amen.
And it's hard pleasing God. Because he requires something of us.
Right.
He requires us to do our best to live right.
Amen.
He requires us to do the best we can to talk right.
Amen.
He requires us to do the best. Notice I said, to do the best we can. You'd almost have to be perfect in order to get it done right all the time. But we are allowed to mistakes. But the good thing about it is, shake the dust off your feet, get yourself back up, and get back in the race. Don't sit back on the sidelines waiting on Jesus to come tap you on the shoulder and say, don't worry, baby, everything's going to be all right, because it ain't going to happen. What you're going to get is, wasn't right in the first place. So we have to make a decision.
Amen.
To keep the faith in God and then allow the structure that we get from the Word of God to take us on in. You know, people, I get tickled, talk to a lot of people, and they always, you know, they feel guilty. I don't make them feel guilty. I can care less. I'm still trying to keep me clean. I'm working on me.
Amen.
I got time to be worried about them.
Amen.
They have to make their own decisions with God. But I do know one thing. People is always talking about, I'm a work in progress. If you ain't studying, praying, seeking God, you ain't no work. So how can you make progress? You ain't doing nothing to make progress.
Amen.
Everybody's
thinking.
Amen.
For truly I have come to bring order to your chaos. That is my purpose. Man is out of order, but I have come that he might be restored. And I have sent my Son, who is the living Word, in order to establish you. He is your example. He is your pattern. Follow him. Jesus waxed strong in the scriptures. He was able to be taught. You must be able to be taught. It does not matter what level you are on. You are still in a teachable atmosphere. And I, the Lord God, will instruct you to make easy and successful your way. Yeah, the world may be hard, but I am with you. The decisions that you will have to face are many, but I am there. And I am the great equalizer. I am the one that takes up the slack. I am the one who is able to lead you and to guide you in all truth. So follow my word. Be diligent in my word, in season and out of season. Thus saith the Lord, and I will guide you into all truth, saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for, all truth. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I'm excited about what God is doing in the earth today. We can't see it actually because we're so caught up on the bad stuff that's taking place or the things we don't like. But God's still moving. He's moving above, below. He's sides, he's moving.
He's moving.
And he ain't gonna stop moving. Because he already said he's gonna have a people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Peculiar people we are. It's gonna happen. We just have to work toward it, that's all. And the way we work towards it is by studying to show ourselves approved unto God. We work towards it by praying without ceasing. We work towards it by meditating upon the word of God. We work towards it, and mostly by loving our brothers and sisters the way Jesus loved us.
Yeah.
You say, well, who's my brother? Who's my sister? Anybody you come in contact with.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus didn't save you for each other. He saved you for them.
Amen.
How will they ever get saved unless you have the guts and the dominion in your life to recognize that you are a deliverer? You are not the deliverer. Jesus is. But you are a deliverer. Because you have him living in you.
That's right. That's right.
And if you allow him to live through you, you'll see some of the changes that take place in people's lives. Not because you try to be Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot, but because you have humbled yourself before God and you have declared that whatever it is God wants you to do, that's what you're going to do. And you are the only one that's going to know what God wants you to do, because he's going to speak to you and not me.
Come on now. Come on now. Come on now.
Amen. Take somebody by the hand. Hallelujah. So we're going to make the right decisions, and then we're going to stand on faith. And then we'll allow structure to get us through.
Amen.
The choices we have to make.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Father, in thy precious and thy glorious name, I pray right now by the mercies of God that you teach us, Lord God, guide us into right decisions. Decisions that are not just going to bless us, but going to be a blessing to people that are around us. And then, Father, as we have made them decisions, Lord God, you're going to give us the ability to have the faith. And we know that the faith, the word for faith is pistis. It's a divinely implanted principle. That's you, Jesus. That is you with your mind, your heart, your understanding, your wisdom, your power. So, Father, we pray that you allow that to manifest in our lives. And then, Father, allow us to be structured in a way so that we're not moved to the left or the right by winds and different doctrines that are blowing our way. But we're able to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. And, Lord, teach us, Lord God, to press our way into the high prize of the high calling, which is in you, Father. Not something that we can handle or hold on to, but something that we can live in. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, use us for your glory. Use us, Father, that you might get all the praise. Use us in your love. Use us in your peace. Use us in your strength. Use us in your humility. Use us in your power. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for touching everybody here. Oh, God, if somebody needs healing in their body today, let the power of the living God, let it flow from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Why? Because we are connected, Father. We are the anointed ones. And that connection is turned into a line of victory, Lord God. A line of vultures, Lord God. Let that vultures bring forth healing. Our legs, our ankles, our knees, our backs, our souls, our minds, our peace, and our spirit. Father, I thank you right now.